my sexy title here is Double Jeopardy with Men's Sexual Behavior and Drug Use, Down, Low, and High. And I'm here from the Research Triangle Institute in Research Triangle, North Carolina. And I'm going to be presenting on a study that Steve and Larry are also going to be presenting on, which is the SAFCAT study. So the data from the study come from a NIDA-funded cooperative agreement program project called the Sexual Acquisition and Transmission of HIV Project. And the study was designed to start with traditional high-risk groups, so MSM and drug users, and to try to understand the potential for diffusion from those high-risk groups into the, you know, quote-unquote general population. So we used a technique called respondent-driven sampling, where we had drug users and men who had sex with men come in, and then they had coupons to recruit their sex partners or other drug users that they knew. And so, and our specific site in North Carolina was located in the Research Triangle area. So in three counties in particular, the Durham County, where the city of Durham is, in Wake County, where the capital city, Raleigh, is, and in Smithfield, or in Johnson County, which is a little bit more rural of a county. And I'm going to be presenting the data just on our first year's findings so far. So during the first year, we recruited 881 drug users and MSM and their sexual partners. So the background for this is obviously that, you know, men who have sex with both men and women are receiving a lot of press recently about how they're thought to serve as a bridge between the high-risk populations of high-risk for HIV, MSM, and lower-risk heterosexual female populations. And while we set out to enroll specifically MSM and drug users, we found that more than 30% of the men in our study during the first year of data collection reported sex with both men and women in the past 6 months, which we weren't necessarily expecting to find. And really, little has been known or documented about this risk group, kind of portrayed as if they're one uniform population, but really we don't know that. And in fact, a lot of the, often these men identify with a variety of sexual labels. So in our population, these men identified, 36% of them did identify as bisexual, but 25% identified as straight, 14% chose to have no label to their sexual identification, 14% identified with some other term, like down low, just messing around on the other team, or same gender loving, and 11% identified as gay. So my objectives were, first of all, to understand who these men are, so to determine whether the men who are having sex with men and women were demographically and or behaviorally different from other men in our population. So who are these men? And then might they be serving, if there are any evidence, they might be serving as a bridge for transmitting HIV from one demographic risk group to another. So the second question then is, who are their partners? So the first thing that I did is I compared the men who had sex with men. There were 185 of these guys in our population. I compared their demographics and behavior to the men who are having sex with women only, and 307, and the men who are just having sex with other men during the last 6 months, and of 43. And then I looked at their sex partners to discern potential for bridging, like how similar or dissimilar were their sex partners. So in red here, the red bars are all the men who are having sex with men and women, the MSMW. The blue bars are the MSM, and the green bars are the MSW. And the significant tests, the pairwise t-tests, where I compared the MSMW to the MSM and the MSMW to the MSW. And so you see that in pretty much demographically, they're pretty similar. These men are pretty similar to our other participants. Predominantly throughout the study, most of our participants were African American. Not surprisingly here, the men who are having sex with men have higher rates of HIV than the other two groups, but you can see that the MSMW have a slightly higher rate than the MSW. Similar rates in this population of ever having been incarcerated, over 60% in all the groups. And similar, at the bottom here, similar rates of generally low-income population, all of the groups predominantly reported incomes of less than $500 in the past month. The one difference is the men who are having sex with men and women were more significantly more likely than the two other groups of men to report being homeless. So these men were also more likely to report unprotected sex than were the men who were having sex with women. They were also more likely to report unprotected sex with a non-main partner than both the men who are having sex with men and the men who are having sex with women. They were more likely to report anal sex with a female than were men who were having sex exclusively with women. And they were significantly more likely to report at least one new partner and more than five partners. The they also were more likely to report engaging in sex trading. Now, I should qualify that the questions asked, this sex trading, were questions about have you ever given anyone money or drugs for sex? Have you ever received money or drugs in exchange for sex? So the first bars were traded as any, either buying or selling, and then I broke it down. And what I thought was interesting is that these men were significantly more likely to report trading sex than both of the other groups of men, but they were also more likely to report both buying and selling of sex. And they were also significantly more likely to report having sex in public places. And these included like parked cars and parks and this kind of thing. And there, in terms of drug use, these men were also more likely to report crack and other cocaine and injection opiates. Methamphetamines were more common among the MSM, and the crack was pretty high among all three groups, but they were significantly more likely to report having used other cocaine or injection opiates. And I should say that almost 100% of these guys, reported drug use in the past, one of these drugs in the past 30 days. So the conclusion in terms of who these guys are, they appear to be riskier than other men. They're riskier sexually than the men who have sex with men and the men who have sex with women only. They have greater numbers of partners, more unprotected sex, more anal sex with women, more sex trading, and they also have more risky in terms of their drug use, more stimulant and opiate use and injection. So the big question is, who are their sex partners? So then I looked for evidence of bridging by examining the characteristics of their most recent three sex partners. So I looked at differences in their drug use, sexual orientation, race, age, whether they met the person in a different neighborhood, and I also looked at concurrency and whether or not partners had other partners. So the sex partners, I should clarify that there was a section of the survey where all the respondents were asked to report detailed information about their last three recent sex partners. So all this information is that those specific set of questions where they were reporting about who were their last three sex partners. And so some people only had one, obviously, and then some people had three. So there are 187 guys, and there are about 300-some sex partners that they're reporting about here. And so in terms of the respondents, about 30% of the respondents reported only a female partner or female partners. About 40% reported male partners only, and about 32% reported having partners of both genders in the past 6 months in the detailed question. So here I looked at, I compared their, I was interested not only in who their partners were, but if there were differences in their male and their female partners, because I thought there might be. And in fact, what we see here is, for the most part, there aren't any differences. I did pairwise t-tests. There were no differences in terms of their male and female partners. In terms of the partner's age, about 20% of both male and female partners were older than the participant. About 10%, you know, a pretty small percentage of female and male partners were of a different race than the study participant. Less than 20% of male and female partners were from a different neighborhood. But the one striking thing here was that while nearly 100% of these guys had reported using cocaine, crack, heroin, or methamphetamines, over 60% of their partners, they thought their partners had not done those drugs ever. So the majority of their partners were non-drug users. They also were asked what they thought their partners identified as, and so they thought more of their partners, their female partners identified as heterosexual. But as you can see, they thought a pretty large proportion of both male and female partners identified as gay or bi, more of the males than females. More of the female partners were identified as someone who was a main partner than the male partners were. That was a significant difference. And then 40% or more of both male and female partners, the participant thought had other partners simultaneously. And then they talked about trading sex, again, this exchange of money or drugs with these partners. And, again, about 30% of their male partners and about 40% of their female partners they reported buying sex from, and about 40% of their male partners and 30% of their female partners they reported having sold sex to. So the conclusions in terms of their partners is that, in addition to the female to MSM bridging, there's also bridging between drug users and non-drug users in this population. Given that more than half of their partners did not use those same drugs. The sex partners also pose additional risks in that most of the partners have other partners themselves simultaneously. Most of the male partners identify as gay or bi, and that sex trading occurs with the sex partners of both genders. So in terms of next steps right now, I'm doing an analysis where I'm looking at differences in what they do with their male and their female partners to try to understand that a little bit different, a little bit more in depth. I also have a funding from CIFAR to conduct some qualitative in-depth interviews with these men to try to understand better the pathways to and correlates of this behavior, because it looks like, clearly some of these men, they're different men engaging in this, and clearly some of them are driven by their drug use behaviors. And ultimately, I'd like to develop an intervention tailored to the needs of these different types of men.